Welcome to Tart Club. Turgid Tomes is a wanton book club where we get together every other Wednesday to eat, drink, and discuss the latest romantical read. If you happened upon this podcast and don't like the F word or boners, now's your chance to GTFO. This is your official explicit content warning. This podcast is highly inappropriate and listener discretion is advised.
All right. Well, I mean, the fact that we're bi-weekly currently for books, I mean, we could take a break, but yeah, we'll come back to it.
You're sick of me?
Never!
Me and my mispronunciations of, like, most words in the English
pronunciations,
language. But... See? Greetings, fellow tarts. Ashley here, head hussy in charge, and we are ringing in the holiday spirit with the Holly Jollies theme. And first up is A Merry Little Meet-Cute by Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone. And we have Heather back with us to discuss. Hello, Heather.
Hello, Ashley.
So ironic, you know, getting into the Christmas spirit the day before Thanksgiving.
It's seasonally appropriate. Yeah.
There's literally food on my shirt. Like,
is there from cooking?
I'm just like covered in sweet potato casserole, you know, the huge. All right.
I'm dreading my into the kitchen foray I have to do after this.
We will be returning right back to the kitchen after this.
Yeah, we will.
Taking a little break. I find it ironic. My family is obsessed with my sweet potato casserole.
Yeah.
And I make it every year for them. And ironically, I do not like it. And Nick does not like it. So here I am. We're the only two in this household. And as I'm cooking it, you know, I'm tasting as I go. And it's like, I guess this is good. I don't know. I don't really care for it, but all right. But again, it works out because my family's like, oh, it's so good. I'm like, cool, good. Eat it all. Just keep it.
Yeah, my family, like, we used to have like three people that would make like deviled eggs, and we rotated it kind of. And now it's become like my thing. So the last couple times I've tried like a different mix for the deviled eggs, and this time I have sesame soy deviled eggs.
I'm coming over for deviled eggs.
Right?
Be right
and
there.
And I think it's just a 2-hour drive. You'll be here in no time.
Yeah, it's fine. listen to us bitching.
You know, it's Thanksgiving. It's a time of togetherness, and we love our families.
Yes, I love my family. Like, hanging out with them.
Yeah.
I just wish they didn't like my cooking so much.
Right. I wish we could just...
Listen, listen to our humble bragging going on. Oh, I'm such a good cook. Oh, it's so...
It's such a curse.
It's a curse. Oh, I know how to cook things. All right. After all that food talk, let's get into drinks. Heather, what drink did you pick to go with this book?
I picked it's a Heather original,
ooh.
I guess one could call it. I have named it Santa's Little Stripper because, of course, in the novel, they go to a strip club, and that is a comment that is made. Let me see if I can find it. Yes. So, at the strip club of the North Pole, their server, Peppermint, says, Santa's Little Stripper, and I have to, of course, go with it. The drink is a hot cocoa brandy infusion, and if you're in Florida or any other southern locale that doesn't get snow and is tropical, you're going to drink this and want to strip off your clothes. So, it is appropriate.
Yeah.
So... It's basically mixed to your taste, hot cocoa, a shot, two shots, whatever makes you happy, of brandy, and then topped with whipped cream, cinnamon, whipped cream and chocolate syrup, whatever makes you happy. This is all about feeling cozy.
Yeah, I like it. That sounds good.
But the only thing I could think as I was drinking this was, oh my God, I'm so hot. Can I take these clothes off now? It's so hot here in Florida. I don't even know if we're going to get to be in the 70s for Christmas this year, let alone snow for Christmas.
To be fair, we've also been in overheated kitchens cooking all day. So
Yes, it's
There's
just
that.
been a hot day, and then I'm like, oh, this sounds really good for a drink. No, fuck me, no. So it's a great idea, and if you're not in Florida and you're listening somewhere from like a nice,
perfect,
snowy mountaintop, Santa's Little Stripper is for you. If you're in Florida,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Maybe throw some ice in it.
What drink did you pick for pairing with this book?
So Bailey's was mentioned, and anytime anyone mentions Bailey's, I go back to Old Greg, and it's the whole, you ever drink Bailey's from a show? And then I giggle to myself. So I also went hot cocoa.
Yeah.
With a little shot of Bailey's in there.
Okay.
Keep
I like coffee and Bailey's, but I can see cocoa and Bailey's.
We'll see. I've never done it before. I haven't made it quite yet, but we'll see. Listen, I've been working with potatoes. Oh, and then for the snack, so there's a part in the book where B takes entirely too many gummies and just passes out.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was a lot of talk of like the craft services table because they're filming on location and whatnot. And I could put together a little craft services-esque Christmas charcuterie.
Yeah.
But I won't because I'm just no. Anyways, so.
Too many charcuterie boards for you this year?
No, I'm too tired. I still haven't done any sip and snacks. I might record them with the extra day I get. So Trader Joe's has their seasonal gummy candies, and they usually have a bag for Christmas. So I figure I'm going to snag a bag of Christmas-themed gummies.
But they're not going to be edibles. They're just going to be boring sugar candy.
Yeah, they're going to be boring. I don't do well with edibles.
Neither did me.
Which, you know, you'll hear all about if you listen to, like, whatever past episode Danny and I talk about our edible experiences. So we're doing hot cocoa with a shot of Bailey's and Christmas-themed gummies.
Yes. Okay.
That's it. That's a wrap. Let's talk a little bit about the authors. Julie Murphy lives in North Texas with her husband, who loves her, and her cats, who tolerate her. Accurate. After several wonderful years in the library world, Julie now writes full-time. Oh, that's so cool. When she's not writing or reliving her reference desk glory days, she can be found watching made-for-TV movies, hunting for the perfect slice of cheese pizza, and planning her next great travel adventure. Also, she wrote Dumplin'.
Yes, she did.
I haven't read Dumplin' or watched it myself yet, but yep. I have it.
I've watched it.
It's in my TBR. They just keep multiplying, though.
Right.
It's fine. I'm going to die before I can read all these books, but it's fine. Let's not think about that. Okay, and the other author, Sierra Simone, is a voracious reader of all things, including the smuttiest smut, piles of nonfiction, and old-timey books with brooding widowers. That's, what is it, Wuthering Heights?
Yeah.
What is it, Heathcliff?
Heathcliff on the moors!
She loves writing the dirtiest things that she can think of. King Arthur, sparkling water, ancient mystery cults, coffee, leggings, and fog. Fog.
Leggings.
There's a little fun facts here.
I guess I know which scene she wrote.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Oh, good eye. Good catch. She lives in the Kansas City area with her husband, two children, and two giant dogs, and one horrible cat. You shut your mouth. Let's just jingle all the way into this book report.
Oh, God. Okay. Jingle, jingle, jingle.
Jingle balls, let's go. Heather, how would you summarize this book?
Here's my short summary.
Okay.
Hallmark meets Pornhub in this debauched holiday rom-com. The porn star had a teenage crush on the pop star, and the now grown-up teen idol has a boner for the adult entertainer. Bea and Nolan meet in the cheery town of Christmas Notch to film a squeaky clean, G-rated holiday romance. But behind the scenes, things get X-rated. That's it. That's my short summary. How would you summarize A Merry Little Meet-Cute?
B, a porn star, and Nolan, a former boy bander with a scandalous past, get cast in a Hallmark Christmas movie that will kick off her acting career and save his family's terrible finances. The only problem is that no one can find out about Bee's other gig, and Nolan can't have another scandal. So obviously, they bone.
Obviously.
Obviously. Okay, so I know there's probably going to be a lot. Were there any quotes you liked?
There are a lot. So my first one, and we're gonna get more from Steph later, but Steph is Nolan's
manager.
So she has a very creative way of threatening him, and her first one is basically, if I hear even the puff of a gnat's whisper that you are fucking somebody on set, I will make hair ribbons out of your arteries. Do you understand me? Ribbons! I will wear them to your funeral. I will drape your headstones with them like bunting. I love her. Her yes. threats, like, they're coming back later. I'm just going to warn you now. I am a fan yes. of her very violent tendencies. And her threats to, like, keep Nolan in line. I love her very much.
I'm here for the violence.
I mean, she makes it sound like it's so creative.
Yeah.
So Teddy Ray Fletcher is the manager of a porn production. He's known as Uncle Ray Ray. So he is trying to go legit. He's trying to go clean as, you know, Teddy Ray instead of Uncle Ray Ray.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a mishap where all of his G-rated, very clean, friendly, Hallmark Channel appropriate actors, they're in a horrible accident in the Unfestival, whatever that is. Oh, and so they're replaced with porn stars and porn production. And Luca is sent in as wardrobe, basically. So oh, I can't even with him. He is basically in the know that B is a porn star, and he's very sassy, and I love him very much. So they're having this back and forth, and she says something, oh, I don't even know what it is, but he's just like, unspeak your curse, witch. it's this quote that I'm like, I'm going to use this in real life.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell people to unspeak their curse. They're not going to understand it because they didn't read this novel, because they're not cool like that. But I like that quote a lot. Yeah. The big quote, here it is, the important one. B and Nolan have this whole secret relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to relaunch his career as a squeaky clean, like, bad boy, reinvented, I can be in your clean romance novel dramas. And she's hiding the fact that she's a porn star. We get to the point where they separate, and he is still hiding her. So she basically tells him, I don't need you to love me in private. I need you to love me in public for the whole world to see. And that's not something you're prepared to do. Which was a really important moment, because until then, she was okay with hiding the relationship. It wasn't that she was fat or she was a porn star and he was, you know, the pop idol. It was going to be hidden because he was trying to relaunch his career and she was trying to start a career in mainstream movies outside of porn, and they were okay with that until she realized that she needed more than that. So yeah. That was really important, is like she told him it's great that you love me, it's fine, but I can't be your dirty little secret.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite, probably my favorite part of this whole thing.
Yeah,
was the fact that she owned that and told him.
Yeah.
And that pretty much like wrapped up their whole dynamic for me. What were some of your favorite quotes?
There were just a lot. There are just a lot of punny names for things in this as yes. well. The horses yep. are named Whitney Houston and 100% that horse.
Yeah.
The strip club is called the North Pole. At one point, so B's friend Sunny is constantly packing sex toys and lube in all of her suitcases. She's like, just in case. At one point, Nolan's in B's room for something, and she's emptying out her suitcase, and, you know, said lube and sex toys are, like, flying everywhere, and he refers to her suitcase as a Mary Poppins sex suitcase.
Yeah.
You know, like the magicians when it's like the never ending, like
and
they've
then,
got shit everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those little things were really funny. B does not like horses. Same girl. She's
terrified of horses.
She refers to them as the big derpy Fabios of the animal kingdom. it's a good one. So Nolan knows how to ride horses, and he's like, okay, they have to film a scene where they're on horseback. And Nolan says, I'll be with you the whole way, every step of the way, blah, blah, blah. And then his phone rings, and it's his sister with some crisis, and he's like, oh shit, I gotta take this BRB. And then some weird, like, freak gust of wind hits the set and knocks the tent over, and it spooks the horse, and B goes flying. So she's thrown from the horse, she ends up in the hospital, she comes to in the hospital, Nolan's not there because he had to take his phone call, which we'll get into. we'll get into him and his phone
calls. We will.
Okay, so Sonny has made it to the filming location.
Right.
To check in with B. She's in the hospital. She's all freaked out. B wakes up. She realizes Nolan's not there. She's all bummed. And then Sonny is basically guarding the door, and he shows up finally. And Sonny tells him, fuckboy visiting hours don't resume until tomorrow. Yes. Like, she is not holding back. Okay, so there's this other one. So part of Nolan's scandalous past is that he allegedly had an orgy with, like, America's sweetheart, like, what was it, a figure skater?
I think she was a figure skater, and there were two speed skaters involved.
Yeah, yes. So there was alleged photographic evidence of him having, like, a mega orgy and blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out she had food, she did hook up with the speed skaters, but she got food poisoning and called Nolan to help carry her down to the clinic. And this was before her big whatever she had to do. And of course, you know, she had to, like, drop out of the Olympics. So it comes out later in the book that that's what actually happened. And Nolan just didn't say anything because he's like, well, you know, it's not my secret to tell. The pictures are out there. There's no taking it back. Like, whatever. Her name is Emily. So she and Nolan are discussing it at one point, and she tells him, you know, because they're talking about how fucked up it is that everyone was, like, slut-shaming her, and they were acting like, oh, yeah, he's such a god, he's an orgy god, he's such a hot guy, and then her whole career was ruined. So she says to him, I didn't do anything wrong except ordering tuna tartare in Michigan.
Okay, first of all, gross. The whole thing with her story was, I mean, honestly, you know, the people, they're representing their countries in the Olympics, but that doesn't mean they're not just people. Like, you know, they get horny, they make bad choices. But the fact that she got deathly ill from, like, eating tartar, which seems a convenient excuse, but it was like, you know, this creeper of a photojournalist is there. And he sells the story as, like, some salacious thing.
He took without a picture getting out the of facts. Context.
That's the thing. Like, you don't get the facts. Like, she's deathly ill. It has nothing to do with, like, these two naked people. And, okay, there's condoms on a trampoline, which is objectively a little weird. But you don't know what's going on there. This could be part of their training. You don't know.
They don't care.
But that's just it. It's like, sell the story. The dirtier it is, the better. So we'll come back to Dominic Diamond later. Right. Dirty skeeve.
All right. My last quote is our fave, Steph, the manager.
I love her.
Threatening Nolan with violence yet again.
Again.
I will make my grandmother's traditional Christmas gravy from your neck bone if you screw this up.
Yes.
And now I feel bad because now I know you don't like gravy.
It's not for me. I get why people like gravy. It's just, I don't know. I'm too northern for southern gravy dishes. Yeah. I don't like it.
Okay. Moving on to favorite part.
So, once again, aside from the entire book, I narrowed down my favorite parts to two. And let's see what the first one is. I'll look it up quick. So, B and Nolan are in Christmas Notch, Vermont to film a very Hallmark-esque, family-friendly Christmas rom-com. And Gretchen is the director. Her partner, Pearl, is a screenwriter for this. And they're waiting this whole time for Gretchen or for Pearl to give them the final page. And they're waiting and they're waiting and they finally get the final page. And it's this, the real meaning of Christmas is just to love and be loved in return. So Luca and Nolan and Bea, Gretchen, Sunny, they're all in this room together when they hear this. And they're like, well, that's the final line from Moulin Rouge. And they have this whole back and forth of like, you know, they're arguing about who said that line first. Isn't that King Cole? Lady Gaga reimagined it. It's like this whole back and forth thing. And they're like, well, you know, we could just use another less well-known line. Like maybe the meaning of Christmas is God bless us, everyone. Or the meaning of Christmas is that love actually is all around. That nobody puts baby in a corner. There's no crying in baseball. They have this whole like cliche movie final line, and it's just it's hysterical. The humor in this is really, it's very well done. It's very pop culture focused.
Yeah,
but it's so. And that whole scene is like, I can just imagine this group of people like just chaotically talking over one another. And it was just, it was a lot of fun. That's one of my favorite parts. The other one that I really liked was a little bit later in the story. Nolan was part of, and maybe this is my fault because I feel like the last two book picks have been my pick.
Mm-hmm.
And that somehow pop stars have come into it.
Oh, yeah, just realized that.
I got to this part in the book and I realized, oh, I've done it again. But it's not a Britney song, so here we go.
It's Britney, bitch.
So... it's Britney, bitch. So Nolan was part of a band and their name was Ink. Isaac is the I, Nolan is the N, Calum is the K. Isaac has lost his partner, Britney, and Nolan goes to California to find him. And they're having this whole, like, it's a very quick, very short moment because Calum is actually, he's the male lead in the second book in this series, which I'm very excited to read.
Yes.
It's called A Holly Jolly Ever After. It is physically sitting on my bookshelf waiting for me to read. So... I will be reading his story very soon, but Isaac is the unknown. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we'll get a third book. I would be very excited. But Nolan has gone to California, and they're having this whole conversation, like, avoiding any big emotions. But he's kind of like, I've tried calling you. He's like, well, I threw my phone in the ocean. It's like, so why did you throw your phone into the ocean? And Isaac's just very calm, like, because people were trying to call me.
I was like, okay, I'm ready for Isaac's book right now.
I'm like, because low-key, I was interested in Isaac. We were getting a lot of Callum's story, like, through his Slice Baby, which is, I'm not gonna lie, very punny, and I'm looking forward to it, but Isaac is me. I am Isaac. Like, why did you take it from the ocean? People were calling me. I am just introverted and antisocial enough that you keep calling me, I will... unsubscribe to my phone. Like, I will throw it in an ocean. I don't want it. I had a lot of fun with him, even though I feel like he had like maybe 10 lines in this whole book,
right?
I want Isaac. I want his book. Like, I'm really hoping there's a third book for him, because
I think there will be more.
I hope so. But what was your favorite part of this book?
Obviously, the dialogue. We already went over some of it.
Oh, yeah.
It was hilarious. Very witty. There was a lot of positive representation in here for the bis and for plus-size women. I really enjoyed that Bea was comfortable within her own body and with her sexuality. And Nolan was comfortable with her sexuality and her profession. Like, there was a whole part of the book where they, after they get together, they talk about it, and he's like, I don't care if it's work. So I did like that. There was a moment where they're like, oh, I'm a bisexual disaster. And it's like, it was going so well. It was going so well. And then you had to lean into that stereotype, which I get it. It's for the comedy, but it was like, okay, all right. And I really liked that both main characters were bi.
Yeah.
I also like that her being plus sized wasn't any part of her dilemma, any part of her issue in this book. It had nothing to do with her weight, which is usually, it's like plus size novels, they always have to be super insecure and they have to overcome their insecurity with their bodies and accept themselves, right, and blah blah blah. And it's like, okay, but there are plenty of plus size people out there that already do accept themselves and are comfortable in their own skin. Mm-hmm. But I think my favorite scene, which you mm-hmm. touched on, Luca takes over for the wardrobe person because they were at that mm-hmm. un-festival, that Coachella-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like Burning Man or something. Burning Man slash Coachella. A wooden tusk fell on people. And then all these porn production people and actresses showed up and took over. See, here's the thing that I thought was so weird. The people that were obviously a part of the porn production company that came over to work, they weren't really hiding it. It's like, were they not told? Were they not prepped? So there's a particular scene where Luca, he is in charge of wardrobe. He's like just setting up and getting there. And Nolan goes in there for frontless chaps or something.
Ball front breeches.
Yes, he goes in there. It's a historical Christmas movie, by the way. He goes in there. Nolan's asking for these, what was it?
Ball front breeches.
Yes, ball front breeches. Okay. So he's asking for those, and Luca keeps trying to give him assless chaps. He's like, I mean, they are. They're frontless. Why not? So Nolan is like, at this point, he doesn't know. He hasn't met B yet or anything like that. Which, by the way, Nolan totally like wanks it to B. Porn persona is Bianca Von Honey. He totally knows who she is. But at this point in the book, he has not met her yet. So he's in wardrobe. He's asking for these super, probably like prudish historical breeches that cover everything and are very unflattering, I'm sure. And then Luke is like, assless chaps. And yes. Then Nolan is so they keep going back and forth, and Nolan's like, or you could just give me these breeches. He's like, why don't you just take the assless chaps? Because Luca does not, I don't think Luca understands.
No. Luca is just kind of like, he tries, well, it's going to be faster this way.
Yeah, exactly. And so then he tries to give him a mesh top. And I'm like, this is a historical fit. What? No one was briefed. No one was briefed, apparently.
No.
So it's hilarious. There's another part where someone, I think it's a lighting person, and they're like, got it, don't shadow the boobs. Or something like that. Right. And everyone's like, what? So it was hilarious. But the part that really got me, Luca already hates Nolan over the whole figure skater downfall thing. He's obsessed with figure skaters, apparently. Hit it off well. So Nolan's gone. No. B comes in. She greets Luca. And he's talking about, oh, you know, Nolan's a little bitch or whatever he's saying to her. And then he's talking about how Nolan was complaining about his wardrobe choices or whatever. And then she tells, when he tells her about the assless chaps, I think, I vaguely remember this, but, and she's like, whoa, wait, what movie do you think you're working on right now? And he's like, Deck the Balls. Did he say nope. Deck the Balls?
Duke the Balls. Duke of the Balls. Balls. Something like that.
So,
she's like, you know, it's Duke the Halls.
Yeah, he literally thinks he's working on a porn as per usual. So that's why he was getting offended and irritated that Nolan would not accept his assless chaps or his mesh tops. And he's looking for unflattering breeches. Then Bree has to tell him it's not Duke the Balls, it's Duke the Halls. And he's like, oh, this makes so much more sense.
That makes more, yeah.
It was fucking hilarious.
It was hilarious.
And it happens in the beginning. So it kind of sets the tone for what we're getting into.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I just realized I did not make the launch post.
We can share that on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no, the new thing I've been doing, I edit ahead of time, and instead of like physically going in and launching it myself, because the times were always off, you can schedule the release. I think 10:30 in the morning is like a good time. So pretty much from now on, the episodes are coming out at 10:30 every other Wednesday, because I'm scheduling them. Now I just need to remember to do the launch post. To be fair, it's the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Shit was wild at work, and I just now realize now that you brought up. All right, least favorite part.
B. Hobbs / Bianca Von Honey is a fat porn star, and she holds a lot of feelings about being fat shamed in the industry, where like other stars won't work with her because she's not the typical porn star. So my least favorite part is after all this is outed and her and Nolan's relationship is basically fodder for the masses, is the fat phobic slut shaming that she had to deal with, and the double standards, because Nolan just pretty much squeaks by and Steph comes out with that whole, oh, he didn't know that she was a porn star and didn't know that, you know, he was working with like these porn producers, and the double standards there. It was my least favorite part. And the fact is, that's the reality. Like, if that story were to break in real time, the woman would definitely take the hit. Whether she's fat or not, whether she's white or not, the man is always going to get away a little bit better than she is. And it's going to be, oh, she's a slut versus, oh, he's just doing what men do. And that attitude that is very pervasive in real life.
Disgusting.
You know, conversely, like, it was my least favorite part, but I also liked the fact that they didn't shy away from that. Like, they did dig into the repercussions then, like how B dealt with that, how Nolan dealt with that, and how they took what happened and the fallout, and that was part of the story as well. So it wasn't just like, oh, well, you know, she's fat and she's a porn star, she's a slut, and, you know, oh, he didn't know, and, you know, but they turned that around and he owned the fact that, you know, I knew she was a porn star, I knew exactly who she was. And when he came out with his response, it was never about, you know, I love her because she's, even though she's fat, that was never part of his story. So I did like that.
What you're saying is you wanted more calm, less drama.
Yeah, I think.
A little more comedy, a little less drama.
I didn't hate it. I mean, it was the least favorite part because overall, I loved it. I loved this story. It was lighthearted. It was very funny. There were a lot of good characters in this. And the least favorite part I dug out was the fact that reality, like, kind of, like, showed up. I didn't like it. You know, reality should not be in my fiction. Goodbye.
Rude.
Rude. What was your least favorite part of this book?
Actually, it's kind of related to a bit of yours. So you mentioned when Nolan, his manager Steph came out with a press release after B was outed, her other profession, her other gig was outed, and they had spoke before. Well, I guess, okay, let me roll it back, because there was an incident before this. There were two incidents that just really had me like just rolling my eyes to the back of my skull. So the first one was when Nolan is doing an interview with that douchebag Dominique, Dominic Diamond. Yeah, so the reporter that has it out for him, basically, that ruined his career. So he's digging around, and Nolan doesn't want him digging too deep around Bree. So he sets up an interview and just kind of like takes the attention off of her and puts it more on himself. So they spoke beforehand. Bree and Nolan discussed how he was going to do this interview and how basically he needs to deny any kind of romantic affiliation with her. Because if it does come out, obviously, his relaunch of his career is ruined and his family is broke. There was a lot riding on this for him. They agreed, yeah, you don't know anything about it, I'm just your co-star, you know, keep it profesh. That's what we were supposed to do anyway. But obviously they don't. So the interview goes on and he just cool as a cucumber is like, oh, yep, she's just my coworker, I'm just here to work, no time for that. B gets upset. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, girl, You literally just agreed that this is what he was going to say and do. And he said and did it. And now you're mad. It goes on later. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it was this part or the incident that you had kind of touched on. So when B does get found out and she's outed and Nolan's manager puts out the press release, B was literally high as a kite. Before she got high, even she was leaving him voicemails on his phone. I think he was like up in the air, so his phone wasn't working or something.
Yeah, he was flying home. Yeah,
so he didn't know that she was outed. He was on a plane somewhere. So when he lands, he gets all these text messages and voicemails and calls from like everybody. So in her voicemails, like her first voicemail, I think he listens to, she's like, "You didn't know. You didn't know any of it. Blah blah blah. Just deny it. Da 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 da." Okay. So he can't get a hold of B because she's passed the fuck out, high off of gummies. And he goes off of the voicemails and the text and everything that she had left him. And he goes ahead, he gives his manager the go-ahead for the press release, denying that he knew anything about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I keep calling her Bree. It's B.
You went back and forth. It's fine.
I just got cheese on the mind. So
no, I want cheese.
So then B once again gets mad at Nolan for doing what they discussed that he should do, and they agreed upon it, essentially. Like, she literally told him to do it. And that's the thing where it's like, no, men cannot read, people in general cannot read your mind. You can't say one thing and just expect him to figure out the undercurrent of your personal feelings that are unspoken. That it does not work. He can't read your mind. I was like, girl, shut the fuck up. And I was so glad when her friend Sunny, I think it might have been the second time around, Sunny just straight up tells her, you can't have it both ways. Like, you literally, this is what you guys agreed to from the start. Like, deny. That was your whole thing. And now that it's happening, you're upset.
I think the reality of it was she was at that recording of the interview, and because he's an actor, like, he played it very cool. And I think hearing it in real time hurt her, which is fair.
She literally said, oh, he said it so easily. It's like, ma'am, he's literally an actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he says it poorly, everyone's going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And then you're
fucked. She was all up in her fifis at that point, so, I mean, it made sense she was upset, but, I mean, they didn't overplay it. You know, they didn't.
I'm glad they only did it the two times.
But, like, I understand that when she heard him say that, so, like, so coldly, so matter-of-factly, it hurt. But, yeah, I can see both sides of this, and I feel like Sunny in this scenario where she's like, I understand, and I know how you feel, but I'm like, you know, if I'm Sunny, I'm B's best friend, so I gotta side with her, obviously. But I'm not in this fictional story, so I was just like, I'm waiting for it. I'm like, I just need this to resolve happily.
Okay. Other least favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan knows who B is. He is a subscriber of her closed doors account, aka her OnlyFans. He knows who she is. And obviously she knows who he is, but she has no idea that he knows about her other persona. So they start just randomly hooking up. This has never been discussed. She is still under the assumption that he does not know. While they're hooking up, he just says her stage name instead of her actual name. And that's how she figures out he knows. And it gave me the ick. Like, she was cool with it in the story and everything, and that's fine, but it just gave me the ick. I would probably feel a little violated because he knew who she was. She had no idea. It gave me the ick because that's how B found out he knew.
Yeah.
We know he knows because he can't stop fucking talking about it.
No, he's obsessed with her.
No, so from B's side of it, I was thinking of it from that end of it, I would have been creeped the fuck out.
Yeah, because I mean, she does talk about often like how some of her
Yeah.
fans like go a little too far and like make inappropriate comments, and how she blocks them or she reports them to like the network IT guys or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, she also has a crush on him, so it's a mutual thing, but
See, but and then
yeah.
that's why it's like, oh, it works because she already has a crush on him. But what if she had no, he was
Right.
not, what if he was like Joe Schmo nobody
Right.
and just
Yeah.
they're hooking up and then he says her porn name instead of
Porn
her regular name? That would have been so
name.
gross. But she
Yeah.
already had a crush on him, so it worked, but it still gave me a little ick. What the fuck moment?
Okay, so my what the fuck moment was basically after B and Nolan are outed, or maybe it was even before, I don't know, but it was like basically this line on page 310: the porn star and the newly wholesome celebrity were never meant to have a happy ending. They were never meant to stand in a church wearing gorgeous clothes and pledging eternity to each other. That made me so mad. It's like, why? Why, just because you're a porn star and a celebrity, can you not have a real life together? And it was a what the fuck moment because of it goes back to my incessant plea for the fans: give it up. Your idols, your people that you have this obsession with, your actors, your celebrities, they're real people too, and they are allowed to have a real life. So if they want to get married, they want to have a happily ever after. I don't care what status they are, if they're musicians, they're actors, they're porn stars, you don't own them.
You're
So my
not
what the fuck?
entitled to their private life.
Exactly. So my what the fuck moment was basically saying, because you're a porn star and because you're a celebrity, you can't have a happily ever after. It's like bullshit. What is your what the fuck moment?
When I tell you, this got me good. Why the fuck would you take a selfie with a fan at a strip club when
Oh.
you're on location filming a movie for him to get his career comeback, for her to start her career, and you're filming this and you there they there's talk of morality clauses in your contracts?
Oh
What? How stupid are you? And that ended up being the source of the leak. And it's like, yeah, no shit. Are
they
you kidding?
literally like, oh, you promised not to share this with anyone. I'm like,
No,
ugh.
as soon as like they're talking like that, I'm like, this is it. They're gonna be outed now and they're gonna get fired. And that was another thing that made me so fucking mad. I was like raging out reading this because they just kept putting themselves in these situations where it's like,
Yeah.
you're going to get caught. You clearly don't care enough
No.
because you just keep, no, I get it. They're falling in love, whatever, boning, who cares? You guys are acting like your priorities. You're saying your priorities are your careers, but you're acting
Yeah.
like you don't give one flying fuck about your career
No.
because you're just off doing whatever, taking selfies with strippers. Like, what the fuck?
They had this whole, like, everyone, like, from Teddy all the way up to the porn star, they had this whole, like, mentality that the people that watch Hallmark movies, and, you know, we can call it Hope Channel, we can call it Hallmark, like, whatever. Hope Channel equals Hallmark. You can't pretend that people that watch these wholesome movies do not also watch porn. I'm sorry. I'm one of those
No.
people who like fluffy, cheesy holiday romance. I'm not going to not watch porn. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is a crossover. And to
Yeah.
think that no one that watches porn is going to watch a Hallmark movie, no.
That's not
No.
true.
And
Some
they
of them
just. But
Hallmark people are low-key freaky.
it's like they keep. Like, everyone is like, oh, they're never going to cross streams. Bullshit.
So annoying. I
Bullshit.
was like, oh my gosh, let's just stereotype everyone and everything.
And
All
they're like,
right.
oh, well, it's fine. It's safe. I can take a picture with a porn star and like
No, you
a
can't.
lap dance. This is fine.
Heather, if I had been holding the book at that moment, I would have thrown it across the room because what the fuck is wrong with you, idiots? Red flags.
Oh, okay. So B's high school boyfriend basically threatening to share her nude pictures. Like, they had been in a
No.
relationship through their senior year and she broke up with him for like whatever reason, I can't remember. But then he threatens to like share her nude pictures. So, you know, in a boss move,
Yeah.
she posts her nude pictures on Instagram. of course, you know, they're censored.
Yeah.
But that is what basically launches her porn career. Wait, that attitude is disgusting. It's like, yeah. Oh, well, she broke up with me. She hurt my feelings. I'm going to expose her and, like, make her trash. First of all, disgusting, the fact that the man has that power. And second of all, it's like, gross. Just, like, take the loss, sir, and walk away.
You could share an unflattering dick pic, but they won't, nothing will come of it, because
that's
men,
just it. It's like, yeah, we can't do the same thing back. And then the other one that I had was Nolan's story. Basically, Dominic Diamond does his thing and he unleashes, you know, all of Nolan's dirty secrets. But not only the fact that he's trying to, like, relaunch his career, but and that his co-star is a porn star, but he's into his mother's being bipolar and his sister's, you know, angsty teenage vibe. And him and Stepper having this conversation about, you know, how do they find out this information? And that's basically what he says. He's like, how? He's like, I don't need to ask why, because we were bags of blood for the gossip vampires and we were content fodder for everyone else. Disposable, moldable, easily flattened into a joke or hammered into a soapbox. So basically that mentality that celebrities and musicians, that they are basically goods for their fans. And we've talked about this. We talked about in our last book. It's like, they are people. They are allowed their privacy. There is a line in the sand. And Nolan says later, I signed up to be a celebrity. They didn't. So basically, you are allowed as a fan as much as they are willing to share. And overstepping that line is disgusting. So that's my red flag.
Yeah.
What were some red flags that you found in this book?
Likes cantaloupe. If you like, I agree with Nolan. There's a scene, cantaloupe gets brought up. He's like, disgusting.
I love cantaloupe, so.
We're going to fight.
We're going to fight. It's fine. We can't agree on everything.
I'm throwing bows. I'm flipping tables.
I hate honeydew for the same reason, to be fair.
I don't like any melon, to be fair.
No! All of them?
All of them. Watermelon, honeydew, cantaloupe. No.
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 I love watermelon and cantaloupe. Honeydew can go die.
We already touched on this. Tells you one thing, then changes their mind and decides to be mad at you.
Oh.
And expects you to read their mind about it.
So we can't all be psychic.
You know. Is there something to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
Yeah, it's actually a line that Nolan has, and it's short and sweet. You can't go back and change the past. You can only fix the future. So regrets, fixating on, you know, what has already happened. And I get, you're an anxious person. You're going to fixate on things. But the reality is you can't change it.
Yeah.
So you can either try to correct it or just ignore it and move past it for the future. Mm-hmm. That is what I took away from this novel. It's like, you know, you did it. You made your mistakes. You learn from them. You move on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. Is there something to be learned from this book that you apply to daily life?
Bring lube everywhere, just in case. I'm just kidding. That's not what I thought. All right.
Sunny's your BFF.
Yeah. Just taking a page out of Sunny's book. But seriously, never do online journaling. Ever.
Oh.
That's how they found out the information about Nolan, is because his younger angsty sister had an online journal and she just changed the name and didn't realize they can track that shit directly to her and him.
Yeah.
Ugh, don't ever do it. Don't leave a trail.
She's a teenager. There were teenage angst mistakes made.
Just get one of those little journals like we had back in the 90s and the early aughts with the little lock and key on them. Yeah. Just do that.
Dear diary. Today, Bryanton, look at me.
Yeah, and then when you get older, you're going to be so mortified and you can just like burn it in a bonfire of all the other embarrassing things from your childhood.
Yeah, like, this generation doesn't get that anyway.
I was like, be a normal person. But I was like, oh, I guess be a normal millennial is what I mean.
Yeah, I need to ask my nieces, How's teenage life going for you? Like, what's it
Yeah.
like compared to my real life?
Not terrible. Everything's online.
Everything's online and you can't take that shit back.
No. Do you have a spicy snippet you'd like to share about this book?
Indeed. I wasn't mad at third act breakup.
Okay.
Wasn't
Yeah.
mad at it. Because they both needed, and it was a very little bit of time, but they both needed some time apart, and they
Yeah.
both needed to like think about what being together meant for them individually before they could be together. So most of the time, third act breakups, as you know, and our listeners know, make us very angsty. Like, we hate them. They're usually for stupid reasons that make no sense, that resolve in like 10 pages, that it didn't need to happen.
Yeah, pretty
This one,
much.
even though it was like a very short breakup, they both had important conversations with their people in those pages. And then they were able to come together and realize, yeah, this is my person and I need to fix this shit.
I
So
agree.
I wasn't mad at a third act breakup.
Yeah, me either. It needed to happen.
It needed to happen. It had to happen. So, do you have a spicy snippet you'd like to share about this book?
Didn't care for Nolan that much, if I'm being honest. For the majority of this book, which, okay, so to be fair, I listened to this. For the majority of the book, he literally just sounded like a pubescent boy that got like a boner for the first time and was obsessed with it. And it's just like constantly, you just talk about, oh my gosh, she's so hot. Oh, she's so sexy. I'm like, we get it. You want a bone, like that's fine, but geez, just chill out. Like there are other aspects of her as a human being. Like we get it, cool. Like you can have like whatever porn star fantasies, I'm whatever. It was so overkill to me. I was like, dude.
I have a, it was a gift last Christmas from one of my book club members. It was like a reading journal, basically. So one of the questions on there after you finish the book is your favorite character. So I ranked four favorite characters for this novel, and number four is Nolan. So it's like I ranked him under like two side characters and B.
Yeah,
He's the
Luca's
fourth
number
favorite.
one.
I'm like,
Luca's number
huh?
one. Luca's
Who
number
is?
one. Luca.
Yeah.
All right,
Me
good.
too.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's get into the speed round. Heather, who would you be besties with and why?
Luca,
Yes.
for many, many reasons, but mostly because of his sass. I mean, he is just, oh, I love him so much. He's so dramatic. And I don't want drama in my real life, but in my fantasy life, he's my like book best friend because
Yeah.
he's so over the top. He hates on Nolan. He refuses, even though he's wardrobe, he refuses to fix his costumes for him. He makes Nolan
He
like
makes him sew them
surrender.
up himself.
It's so much fun. And he's like, they go to karaoke together and he's like, I might forgive you if you sing this song. And so I'm besties with Luca, 100%.
Like it.
Who would you be besties with and why?
I'm gonna go with Sunny, 'cause she had her back no matter what. She was ready to fist fight someone.
True.
I liked it. Who do you want to throat punch and why?
I will throw a punch Dominic Diamond because he is, to quote, pond scum.
Yeah.
He is like the lurking paparazzi. I think they call him Bloggerazzi in this one.
Yeah, probably. Something
And I feel like in
stupid.
our last book, we also had like a paparazzi situation. But anyways, they call this one Bloggerazzi because he stalked Nolan until he found dirty photos and like could use them against him and built his whole career on this one scandal. I'm gonna throw punch him. I just, it feels like a good use for my fists. Who do you want to throw punch and why?
Well. I also want to throat punch Dominic.
Yay.
What a leech.
Good.
Who would you want on your side in a fight and why?
Okay, I'm picking Steph, Nolan's manager type person, because she has literally the best threats of all time. So we've talked about her, I will use your intestines as bunting kind of thing. Mm-hmm. She also has a line where...
Neck bone gravy.
I'll personally remove your eyeballs and string them onto a cranberry and popcorn garland for my tree. And then she's going to use his teeth as earrings. So intestines, neck bones, eyeballs, teeth. If she's going to be a serial killer, she's got it down. You know what I'm saying?
She's ready for it all.
She will multi-purpose your body parts. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Who would you want on your side in a fight and why?
I'm going with Callum with a K. Because, you know, pizza and transport.
True.
Pizza and transport. He let Nolan borrow one of his slice baby vans to drive state to state.
How many Vanilla Ice references do you think are going to be in the sequel? Like, I'm a little bit scared.
So many. Who would you cast for these characters? And or assign zodiac signs based on vibe?
I assign zodiac signs based on vibe. For B, I'm going with Aries. She's got the bold and fiery energy and fearless creativity. So she owns her shit. She's not afraid of it. She doesn't, like, you know, oh, I'm a porn star, poor me. Like, she is who she is. Yeah. She's authentic, bold. I like it. For Nolan, I went with Leo because of his love of the spotlight. He had, like, a natural charisma. Like, he could coerce people into whatever he wanted them to. So Aries and Leo. I didn't look up their romantic compatibility, but whatever. They vibe. It worked.
Yeah, I like it. I like those.
Who would you cast for these characters or assign zodiac signs based on vibes?
So for B, I went with a young Nikki Garza. She's a plus size actress. She was on the remake of that show Dynasty.
Okay.
She definitely has the look where she could be cute, funny, and playful, but also sultry.
Okay.
So I went with her. For B, and then for Nolan, Chris Pine.
Mm-hmm.
Like a slightly younger Chris Pine. Wait, he's in his 50s now. Okay, younger Chris Pine.
He is not.
I think he is. He's getting up there. Maybe. We're old. We're old, Heather.
Shut your mouth!
Chris Pine has the comedic timing, and also he can... So while I found Nolan's character to be annoying, I feel like Chris Pine would cut that back. Like, he would be able to act this out in a way that wouldn't be, I'm a horny teenage boy.
Yeah.
He would bring some maturity to it, I think.
Okay. I'll allow it.
Okay. Heather, what K-drama would you cast these characters on?
So there is on Netflix, it's not a drama, it's a movie. It's still South Korean, a K-movie. It's called Love and Leashes. And it brings the comedy as well as the bondage, like BDSM vibes, which is weird for a K-drama.
Okay.
But it's more funny than it is anything else. So it's not exactly like raunchy Christmas because, you know, South Korea doesn't do Christmas like we do.
True.
So I went with like the kinky vibes of that. Okay. So Love and Leashes. It's on Netflix. That is what I would recommend.
All right.
What reality show would you cast these characters in?
For B, there's a show on Netflix called The Circle. And I've never watched it, but the concept, it's some type of, basically, it's like, I think these people are trying to win some sort of popularity contest. And they have an option of going into it. And I think it's all supposed to be on social media. So they have the option of going into it as themselves or with a fake online persona.
Oh, okay.
So I felt like, I was like, okay, I could see B doing this. Maybe going in as herself and then having her persona come out later or only half of herself. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that would be good. And then for Nolan, the masked singer.
Yes,
I feel like he would do that.
absolutely.
That'd be fun. I know he ends up being a judge on the boy band show that gave him his big break.
Yeah.
That in the end, he ends up being a judge on the show, but it's just like, I feel like he would be a really good contestant on The Masked Singer.
Yeah. I mean, he does get up and rock karaoke, so.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what his costume would be. All right. That's what we think. Let's see what some other people think. I've got some Goodreads reviews here, and we're gonna blast through these because my boyfriend has a bedtime that he's cranky about.
Time crunch.
Yes. Kelsey gave it 5 stars. This book was a complete and utter joy. It was spicy and heartfelt. It didn't try to take itself too seriously while also tackling topics such as biphobia, erasure, fat phobia, and the stigma around sex work. It's insta-love, but with a twist. It's sexy, ridiculous at times, and the most fun I've had reading a holiday romance this season. Yeah.
Nice.
Danica gave it 5 stars. I have never read or watched such a horny holiday romance.
True.
I mean, she's not wrong. Bryce gave it 4 stars, all caps. Do not be confused by the cute cartoon cover. This book is nasty.
Yes.
Yes. Mabel gave it 4 stars. This book was batshit insane. Like, I felt like I was drunk while reading it, but I had a great time. 3 question marks.
Yes.
She's bamboozled. She doesn't know what just happened.
No. 3 question marks implies I don't know what the fuck.
Cassie gave it 3 stars. Cute. Hallmark meets OnlyFans. Yes, accurate. You said Hallmark meets Pornhub. Yeah, same.
I
Yeah.
did.
Alyssa gave it 3 stars. Read most of this book on public transportation.
Oof.
Oof. All
Be
right.
brave.
Strong. She's strong. What is that, like, TikTok? She's so brave. She is not afraid. Danielle gave it 2 stars. First of all, I never want to see or smell gingerbread lotion again in my life after this. So jot that down.
They're not wrong. I don't.
She's got
Sugarcooking and
points.
gingerbread are done, are dead to me,
Yep,
so.
she's got points. Carrie also gave it 2 stars. Cringe.
Oh.
That's it.
Ouch.
I mean, they're calling it like they see it.
They are.
All right, now for the 1 stars.
Perfect.
Angie, 1 star. I would rather eat cold than subject myself to listening to or reading this book again. Ooh.
That hurts.
And lastly, Ruby gave it 1 star. The only thing I liked about this book was the Moulin Rouge reference.
I love that reference. But it's not the only thing I liked.
Big moment. How many and what kind of phallic symbol would you rate this book?
Okay, so we're going with Yule Logs because Nolan made some like comment about starring with B. Like he says, 5 out of 5 Yule Logs would co-star again. So we're going with
Oh
Yule
my
Logs.
God. Oh,
And
they have a similar rating system to ours.
they do 5 out of 5. Like
Oh.
it's a direct quote from the book. You can't not use it. So I went with 4 Yule Logs because there are some not perfect parts, but overall I did really enjoy it. And it's got a lot of holiday snark in there, so I
Okay.
liked the sarcasm and the wit and the humor of it all. So I did give it 4 out of 5. How many Yule Logs would you rate this book?
I rated it 3.5 Yule Logs. And I also didn't mention this before, but to me, it felt like it dragged a bit in the middle. And it just, or maybe it was just Nolan continually being like, she's so hot. And it was like, I don't know how many times you have to like keep saying this. Like, we heard it the first 15. Why are we still talking about it? So yeah, 3.5, because I kind of was getting sick of it. But then, like the last quarter really brought it back for me. The last quarter really saved it, and the
For
side
me,
characters and everything.
it was more the beginning because, this is my second time reading it because I did want to reread it for the podcast to get it all official. And I didn't remember the lag in the beginning for me. It was developing. It felt more like It was a lot of, like, telling. And then it got into the story, and, like, once I was invested in, like, Bianca and Nolan's relationship, then it picked up speed. So it's not a perfect read. It's not my favorite because, you know, it's not Idle Minds. But it is, you know, it's still, it's really good. It's one of my favorite, like, Christmas romances that I've probably read in a few years. You, like, the holiday vibe is there. If you like Hallmark movies, that vibe is there. But yeah, it did get a little repetitive. It was a little slow start. So it's why it's 4 Yule logs instead of 5.
And now it is time for the bi-weekly boner. It's just directly from the source material.
Good.
In keeping with the holiday spirit, I'm waiting for you to finish your drink. North Pole. Heather is dying.
Whatever makes you happy.
That's what the name of the strip club was in the book, was North Pole.
It was.
But I was like, we can repurpose this. I feel like I've heard this reference several times around the holiday season. Let's put it in a sentence. I slathered his North Pole with my favorite gingerbread lube.
Yeah, it's gross. Okay.
Cover the ears of your stuffed toy behind you. Cover the
ears. I know, right? It's like, all right. You didn't know anything about North Poles.
That's the curious candy cane for this week. Let's move on to the question and poll. What should our question be? I'm wondering, my question is, who are they going to set Isaac up with? Is it going to be an unknown character? Yeah. Is it going to be Sunny?
Sunny. Like,
well, wait, no, Sunny's a lesbian. She slept with that guy's mom. Or she's bi, but I think...
Bi or pan.
Well, I feel like they made a lesbian reference.
She made a lesbian.
But they could, like, they could have made just the lesbian reference and she's bi or pan.
Is there anyone in world already that Isaac be with?
I would have said Steph, but Steph's with Teddy now. So
Steph's definitely with Teddy.
Okay. The question, who do you think they'll set Isaac up with? Unknown or existing characters? Okay, that's the question. All right.
Okay, so poll. This is a direct quote from the book, so I gotta get it right. Do you like cheerful holiday shit and unabashed raunch? Yes or no?
Ooh, okay, I like that one. That's a good one.
It's a direct quote from the book.
Direct quote. We did it!
Yay!
Thanks for coming back.
Yes, 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 always.
We did it. Now let's go back to the kitchen.
I don't want to cook anymore.
Let's go cook potatoes.
Oh, shut up.
Join me back here in 2 weeks for our next read, Love Light Farms by B.K. Borison.
And remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.
Doodles.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or liking, subscribing, and following on whatever platform you're listening on. Not enough action for you? You can follow Turgid Tomes Podcast on Instagram, like the Facebook page, or join the Goodreads group, where you can chat with other listeners, lurk tawdry reviews, and get a heads up on what we're reading and drinking. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can send it to turgidtomes@gmail.com. And last but not least, remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.